Tell me a little bit about the journey of a New Orleans boy to the Coast Guard and to Alaska. When you walked into the Coast Guard recruiting office, did you have any idea that you would sail the Northwest Passage?
I'm a New Orleanian, a homebody. I still live there. My only goal was to get in the Coast Guard and be stationed in New Orleans for my 4 years of Coast Guard duty. Unfortunately, when you read that book, you'll find out I got in a little trouble in boot camp, which gave me 30 demerits, and I did not get my choice of duty stations. I was told by my chief electrician's mate aboard the Sebago in Mobile, Alabama. He called me in one day. He said, "Son," he says, "I have orders to ship an electrician to Alaska." And he and I were the only ones in his room, and I looked behind me. I said, "You talking to me?" Alaska was like Africa or, you know, China. I'd hardly been out of New Orleans other than up to boot camp. I thought Alaska was the end of the world.
And you described that bit of trouble you got into in your book as a misunderstanding between you and a drill sergeant over the pronunciation of your hometown, right?
Well, that was the beginning of it. The very first day I got there, he found that I had pulled my pea coat up to cover my neck so I wouldn't freeze so bad out on formation. And he said, "Where are you from, boy?" I said, "From New Orleans, sir." He said, "You mean New Orleans. You take offense when they say that. We French people down there, we like that, New Orleans." We went worse from there, and I got in a lot of trouble, but it was fun.
And from the Sebago, did you get stationed directly aboard the Storrs?
As I recall, my orders were to report aboard the Storrs, and I ended up leaving our flat, Louisiana, and then ended up coming up to beautiful Juneau.
Can you connect the dots now for us between arriving on the Storrs and learning that you were going to undertake this historic voyage? How was the news announced to you?
It was probably in February when they told us we were going to Seattle to be fitted for our Arctic cruise. And that's when I learned that we were getting ready to go through the ice to New York from Alaska. Being a 21-year-old with not much history background, I really don't know that I knew the significance of it, and I kind of wish I'd had a book like this to read before, so I would have known about Franklin and all the struggles he had and Amundsen and how he got through.
You guys did some things out there on the ice that I guess they must have been innovative in their time. I mean, certainly the 19th century explorers probably didn't have the advantage of putting dynamite out in the ice.
Yeah, but it didn't work. All it did was blow a little hole in the ice. What really got us, we got stuck for 3 days. And I learned later that they even thought the ship and actually all three ships were going to be icebound through the winter because we just weren't making any headway. And fortunately, the tides and the currents changed, and it moved the field so we could get free again, and we did get through. Of course, you know, the real reason we went up there was because of the dew line stations. And the dew line stations, as we all know, was there to prevent an aircraft coming from Russia or someplace, bringing bombs over to the United States.
And it was the intention of the government to service the dew line, the radar stations, from the sea.
The goal was, if the dew line stations got frozen in to the west, which was the Alaskan side, we needed to find a deep water route where they could get them out to the east so they could go to the east coast, to Newfoundland and down on to the States.
And what is the significance of September 6th?
The big question mark was the Belleid Straits area, whether they could or couldn't get through those straits. Most of the time, those straits would be jam-packed full of ice. We actually hung around Simpson Straits in that area for just about a month, and then finally this ice came flowing through there, and they were able to make a dash and get through it.
Dick, at what point in your life and your career after, subsequent to the Coast Guard, did it occur to you that what you participated in as a young man was worthy of writing a book?
I think when we were getting ready to have the 50th reunion, and I started trying to put a DVD together to commemorate the occasion, that I said, you know, by God, maybe we did do something. And, in fact, my wife's commented today to me. She said, you know, all our married life, and we've been married 47 years, you never really talked to the kids about this. I appreciate the fact that I was on it, but I don't know that anybody else would really care. And, of course, today we know that the people that were on the voyage care greatly.
Do you ever think you might find yourself on a ship going over the top of the world again sometime in the near future?
Well, it would be wonderful if we could do that. In fact, Rear Admiral Ryback, he wrote a little note in my book that going to sea is wasted on the youth. It should be reserved for the people like us, who'd really appreciate the opportunity to do a nice big cruise like that.